looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hour number four of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know why. I almost said hour number two of our radio program, which, no offense, I would love to be here talking sports for a long, long period of time. But if it was hour number two and we've already done 3 hours an hour on to the fourth, and it was still just hour number two, I feel like I'd be lost in a maze. Some of you may feel like you're lost in a maze listening to this program right now. But anyway, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, all Rocket can. Hickey looked at me like, hour number two. He's like, dude, I'm ready to get on out of here. I'm sick and tired of listening to you. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go to sleep. Probably eat some peanut butter tonight, I would imagine. Hot take Hickey as well. You know, late night peanut butter guy? I can see you being a late night peanut butter guy.
No, not really. I have it for breakfast and lunch, so I usually
have it for dinner. Maxed out on the peanut butter by dinner. Yeah, it's just something about a scoop of peanut butter at night. I don't know why.
Just a scoop?
Well,
that's madness.
You try with one scoop of peanut butter, and then you sit back down on the couch, you get back up, another scoop of peanut butter, and you go back down to the couch, get back up.
You just eat it raw, like scoop in and in your mouth?
Hold on. This is a family-friendly show here. I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah. Take a little spoon of peanut butter. Eat the peanut butter. I don't need to always have bread, cereal, a banana with peanut butter on
cake,
it. Right? What? You can put peanut butter on anything.
I agree.
I did, though, today when I made my smoothie. I had a frozen banana in the smoothie, frozen strawberries, regular blueberries, spinach, and then I put a scoop of peanut butter powder. I ordered a tub of peanut butter powder. It was pretty good. But why I do not like the regular peanut butter. And then after I had the peanut butter powder, I sat down, I had a little rice pudding, and took a scoop of the actual good stuff in the peanut butter world.
Why not just go regular peanut butter? Why do I have to go with the powder?
I think it's healthier, the powder, for the smoothie.
Well, yes.
So
compared to Skippy or Jif, yes, they're both.
Ugh. The Braves came back.
Yes.
They were down 2-0. Now they're up 6-2. The Mets are down 6-3. So the Mets, by the end of tonight, are going to be tied in this NL East. Ugh. 9 scoops of peanut butter tonight. That's what's happening, Hickey. Jimmy Fallon, right, in fever pitch. Or he's sitting there watching the Bill Buckner highlight with like a bowl of cereal and like milk that's 7 days old. That's going to be me tonight. So now this NL East is going to be tied after this evening. And I'm just going to be eating peanut butter left and right. This is not good. It's the Marlins, for crying out loud. Their manager's quitting at the end of the year, and you can't beat this team?
And you know the Marlins and the Mets end of the year. It's never a good combo.
Well, knock some dust off of John Maid and get his ass on the mound, okay?
I'm in.
Jeez. Team's going to win 100 games this year, and they may not even win the NL East. It's frustrating.
It's like last year with the Dodgers and the Giants. Like they were the two most wins in the NL.
It was like 107 or 108.
Something like that, yeah.
Maybe more than that,
and
honestly.
And the Giants were the odd man out.
Yeah. It's just for, hey, at least they're going to be in the postseason. We know that. Not like if you collapse, you're going to be on the outside looking in like what happened in 07 and 08. But with how well they've played throughout the year, I would be disappointed if they don't win the NL East, because I don't, even with how great their pitching is, if you're trying to win a World Series this year, with the way the new format is, you got to be, you have such an advantage, even though momentum is such a big thing in baseball, you have such an advantage if you have the top two seeds in the NL or the AL, because you don't have to then play in that whole wild card round, which now becomes series and all that compared to just the one game and you're in.
And the matchups would favor them greatly.
107 and 106 last year.
Crazy.
That's what transpired. And you, so who'd you say was the team that was finishing second?
Was it the Giants?
No, Giants won the division.
Oh, I take it back. Dodgers.
Dodgers were in second. Now, I actually thought the same thing. Now, the playoffs, and the Dodgers. Didn't the Dodgers play the Giants and they beat them? No, because the Braves got to the World Series last year. I'm on the World Series.
The Braves got to the World Series and they played the Dodgers in the NLCS.
That's what it was.
But the Braves and the Giants had to meet in the NLDS.
Yes.
And the Dodgers won.
That's what it was. So there we go. That's why you probably thought the Dodgers won the division, because they ended up advancing further in the playoffs. Anyway, enough with the baseball. I got to get back to the NFL. There was one move this offseason, in an offseason that had so many moves, and we were wondering how we were going to feel about it. And after 3 weeks, I really wish that move didn't happen. Devontae Adams left money on the table in Green Bay to leave the Packers and go to the Raiders. Now, maybe if the Packers would have addressed his contract situation earlier, like 2 years ago, and got a deal done, maybe then we're not in this spot. But to be three games in, the Raiders are 0-3. Green Bay is 2-1, but they still haven't even played their best game of football yet. That's a marriage that it got counseling. They got divorced. Adams wanted to go home. He wanted to go to play for the Raiders. He wanted to reconnect with Derek Carr. But you can't tell me after three games that Devontae Adams isn't frustrated. He has to be frustrated. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers says a bunch of wacky things to the media, I can't even keep up with him anymore. But Aaron Rodgers, you have to be missing Devontae Adams. Now, Rodgers never wanted Adams to leave in the first place, but that's a duo that should still be together. And in an NFC that is not great, and I know the Packers last 3 years, 13 wins, 13 wins, 13 wins, and they never got to the Super Bowl, but if they had Devontae Adams, that erases so many of their problems. Because like now, we're calling for the Packers to run the football more because you have two known commodities, even with how great Rodgers is, in A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, and wide receiving-wise, you don't know who's going to be healthy week in and week out, and you don't know who's going to produce. This guy Dubs has been their best wide receiver, which has been crazy. So you're basically having Devontae Adams being wasted in Las Vegas, and you have the Packers that don't have a number one wide receiver. That's a relationship that should have never been broken up. The only way Devontae Adams should have left Green Bay is when Aaron Rodgers retires. And it just stinks. Like, yeah, if you're a Raiders fan, even though you're 0-3, you're thrilled that you still have Devontae Adams. Now you're annoyed that the football team isn't performing well. And if you're a Packer fan, you got to be missing Devontae Adams right now. And in the long run, which Rodgers probably plays another year after this year, I would say, yeah, so the next 2 years, I bet you the Packers, big take here, are going to be better than the Raiders. But will the Packers win a Super Bowl? They didn't do so last 3 years with Devontae Adams. So is it likely that they're going to do so this year? They got a shot because to get there because the conference is so weak. But if Rodgers finally builds chemistry with these guys down the stretch and then plays one more year next year and then walks away, it feels like the last 2 years of his career are going to be wasted a little bit. Now, some of that's on Rodgers, because Rodgers could have played better up against San Francisco last year in the playoffs, could have played better up against the Buccaneers in the NFC title game when they had the home NFC title game. So I'm not making excuses for Aaron Rodgers, because eventually he has to take some of the blame here why he's not been able to get to a second Super Bowl or win a second Lombardi trophy. But that's one where, like, you look at the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Tyreek Hill has done wonders for the Dolphins, and the Chiefs are 2-1 without Tyreek Hill, and they have Patrick Mahomes. You see that move, though, with Devontae Adams. Yikes. It hasn't really worked out well for either party. Like, the Packers are going to go win double-digit games this year because they have Rodgers, and that NFC isn't deep. But for the Raiders, you give up significant draft capital, which you don't even think twice about doing so, but you're now 0-3. So that hasn't worked out for either party. Because, yes, the Packers beat the Buccaneers last week. They had to have it. But the Buccaneers were without three wide receivers. Brady was making Russell Gage look good. And he's going for Rashad Perriman. What is this, back to 06 with Rishea Caldwell and Doug Gabriel for Tom Brady? If the Packers didn't win that game, it would have been embarrassing. And they almost lost the game. Or at least had the game go to overtime. But Ryan, that's the one I keep on circling back to. Where if we could have one do-over in this offseason, I if I could be like the genie that comes flying in on the magic carpet, I would say my wish, well, selfishly, I would wish that the Patriots would get an offensive coordinator and a number one weapon. But if I take my personal bias out of it, I would say, Devontae Adams, I'm going to save you. Go back to Green Bay. You and Aaron Rodgers, perfect together, and not have that relationship ruined. And have Devontae Adams back in Green Bay. That would be my one move. If I had the power to reverse one thing from the offseason, that's what I would have done.
You know what would be ironic is if the Raiders continue their slide and it's, I don't know, they're pick number 7 or 8 and the Packers are able to draft like a wide receiver in the first round for the first time in a long time, and it's like the next Devonta Adams who just like explodes onto the scene.
Wasn't that first round pick for this year's draft?
Wasn't it? I thought it was this year and next year? No?
Was it?
I may have screwed that up.
You may be right. I just, the Raiders, look up the details of the trade. I don't remember if it was two first-round picks or if it was just one. I think it was just a first and a second, if memory serves me right. And that would have been in this past draft. Because didn't they use that 22nd overall pick or 20-something to draft Watson?
Yes, you're right. I apologize. It was the first round and the second round of last year's draft. I don't know why I thought it was two first-round picks.
Yeah.
So well, never mind. Everything I just take back, pretend I didn't say.
But that's fine, because it did trigger another thought. The thought that it did trigger when you talk about draft picks, now this is totally different. This totally goes away from the conversation that we've been talking about. The Eagles have been maybe the best story in football so far this season. Top three story in football. If you want to go Dolphins, Eagles, and then whomever for the third story. Well, actually, who did the Packers? Look, can you look up the draft? Because Watson was a second-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick.
Second-round pick, yep.
See who the Packers took with the draft. I forget off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure it was Quay Walker out of Georgia.
Yes, yes, okay.
At 22.
But just look it up. But anyway, getting back into draft picks, the Eagles, who have been one of the best stories in the league, they have the Saints draft pick this year. They have the Saints first-round draft pick this year from all the wheeling and dealing that Howie Roseman has done. So the Eagles, there is a thought that maybe they have to use that pick on a quarterback. Now that's not going to be the case because Jalen Hurts looks like he's a really good quarterback. So you have many potential possibilities for the Eagles where they could use that on the line to get younger. They could go get another stud edge rusher. Or someone like that with guys like Brandon Graham getting older, even though he just had 2.5 sacks. It's wild how those trades work. And then the Dolphins, if you recall, they got one of their first-round picks taken away because of all the tampering stuff. But yeah, if I could go back and reverse course of action somewhere on this NFL offseason, the one move that I would reverse would be Devontae Adams getting traded from the Packers to the Raiders because it does feel like both those players, that team in the Packers and then the player in Devontae Adams, they could use one another again. That's a marriage. That's a relationship that should have never ended. And unfortunately, it did. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's one move this offseason that you wish didn't happen? For me, it's Davante Adams getting traded from the Packers to the Raiders. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We come on back. When will Dak Prescott return? And I saw a theory today by Pro Football Talk about Dak Prescott and maybe the conversation about Dak through Jerry Jones. And there could be a method to the madness of when Jerry Jones. We'll get to that on the other side.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get into this Dallas Cowboys conversation, let me take a phone call here. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Right before we hit the break, I was saying if I could reverse one decision from this past NFL offseason, I would want Davante Adams back in Green Bay. And I would think that both parties would be fine with that right now. Rodgers doesn't have a number one wide receiver. And not only that, the Raiders right now are 0-3. And it's not looking all that optimistic for the Las Vegas Raiders. And you're number one of Davante Adams and Josh McDaniels in Sin City. Let's go to Dawn in Wisconsin next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Dawn?
Yes. Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. I actually didn't think you were going to pick me, but okay. Okay, I'm at work right now, so sorry. Okay, number one, so I don't know if anyone or everyone knows this, Davante Adams wanted to leave here.
Yes.
Because his grandma didn't want to come here to see him play or something like that. And then number two, I think Rodgers is going to be a lot better because he's not going to be looking just for number 17. He's going to be looking all around. Look at Romeo Dobbs here. He's been doing fantastic. Sammy Watkins is on IR now, but...
Here's the thing, Donna, and appreciate the phone call. I don't buy that notion that they're going to be better without Davante Adams. Like, I look at the Packers, and you're not wrong in terms of that Rodgers gets so locked in on Davante Adams that Alan Lazard's wide open in the 49ers game in the playoffs, and he doesn't even go to him. You're not wrong on that. But you can't tell me that this team's going to be better without Davante Adams, who was never really a distraction, was not a me guy the way that I viewed him. So I look at that situation, you're at a point where it's not about development anymore. It's not about progress. Like, Rodgers' window is not that much wide open as it used to be. This is not Aaron Rodgers at 29, 30, 31. This is Aaron Rodgers, who I don't have a damn clue, A, what planet he's on at times, B, how much he loves football, and C, how much longer he wants to play. And we've discussed this before, Ryan. If I'm a Packers fan, and they'll be a good team this year, I'm not saying they can't be a good team, but if I'm a Packers fan and you have fears, my biggest fear would be Rodgers retires after this year, because that would screw over the Packers immensely. Yeah, you got Jordan Love, who I'm just going to get on a limb, is not going to be a successful quarterback in this league. But the dead cap for next year, 2023, is nearly $100 million. $100 million. Like, Rodgers would be the biggest jerk in the NFL if he says peace this offseason and leaves the Packers on the dead cap hook for $99 million. 2024, it goes down to $24 million, which, like, 3-4 years ago, we said, wow, it's a mega number. Wow, that's a big deal. But after seeing the Wentz trade, the Goff trade, And a bunch of others, we've kind of been accustomed now to teams just throwing away basically like $30 million on a quarterback. But $99 million, Hickey, that would be my biggest fear. And I wonder if these receivers never develop. And I know Rodgers has a great relationship with Lazard. When I was working at Sirius and no one knew who Lazard was, Rodgers would always talk him up. But my biggest fear would be, if I'm a Packers fan, that Rodgers gets so annoyed at the end of this year, or he wants to go on some Pancha Karma cleanse for the entire NFL season, that he walks away after this season. Because that would screw the Packers over for years and years to come.
Almost half the cap eaten up by one guy who's not on the roster? Not good. Not good whatsoever. I'm just going to go on a limb and say that. 100 mil is insane.
Is there any way to say that the Packers are going to be better this year without Davante Adams? Like, Kansas City, people made that argument that the Chiefs would be better without Tyreek Hill. I did not make that argument. I still think the Chiefs could be dominant without Tyreek Hill, but I don't think they're better because it was a nightmare matchup, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You want to go try to slow down Tyreek Hill, then Travis Kelce eats all day. You want to go double-team Travis Kelce or chip him at the line and then put someone else on him, then Tyreek Hill's running one-on-one down the field wide open. But for the Packers, it's not like you have another good option. It's not like since Davante Adams out the door, you have a Travis Kelce there. You know, Dubs has been good so far. Lazard's solid. Watkins is hurt. Watson dropped the football up against the Vikings. Not like you have this other ridiculous option there. Their best options is the run game. You know, I like what Dubs did this past weekend. You know, Romeo Dubs did a nice job this past weekend. I'll give him credit. But I think the Packers' approach in the interim, and it's weird taking the ball out of your best player's hand, is you got to feed Jones, you got to feed Dillon. You got two backs, not just one, where you're concerned about running one back into the ground. Those two backs have to carry the baton until they figure it out at wide receiver. That's the way I look at it, Ryan. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, I can't. You're 100% right. That's kind of what they signed up for when you trade away Davante Adams. You're kind of committing to the run game. And like you said, they're not a better offense. Like, look at these first three games. They're not exactly moving the ball up and down the yard.
No.
They scored, one touchdown against the Vikings, scored two touchdowns against the Bucs, and what was it, 24 points, 27 points against the Bears, whatever it was?
And it's the Bears. I know the Bears are 2-1, but Rodgers, death taxes and Rodgers beating the Bears.
It was not a very dominant performance.
You could have put me, you, and it's crazy because that team's 2-1. You could have put me, you, Ack, and Shep at wide receiver. Rodgers going up. If we have Rodgers going up against the Bears, Rodgers, he owns them. He even said it last year.
I own you.
As he was chanting that to Bears fans, and that game was at Lambeau Field. And the Packers were coming off a loss. That was like the biggest lock of the football season, that the Packers were going to beat the Bears. But for now, run the damn ball. That's what I would do. And also, it kind of preserves your quarterback for later on in the year. Like this weekend, they play the Patriots. The Patriots are going to be starting either Hoyer the Destroyer, and I don't mean that in a good way because he's going to destroy your, like, my team, or they're going to go Bailey Zappi, who did set a record-breaking college season last year, most passing yards in the history of the NCAA.
So that, you know, come right in and maybe just pick up where he left off last year.
Bill's not going to Bailey Zappi.
I would be very shocked.
He's starting Brian Hoyer. Yuck.
Who's basically the offensive coordinator anyway. So there you go. So at least now you have the play car on the field.
Stop.
How old is Brian Hoyer? Like 45?
No.
He feels like he has been like he's an immortal man.
No. If I had to guess, I would say 36, 35. Would be my guess.
He feels like honestly, if you told me right now he's on the 06 Patriots team, I know he wasn't, but if you tell me he was, I'd believe it.
I wonder what his first year was.
Around
2012 maybe was his first year in Foxborough?
You're probably right. Like it's definitely not as late as I'm saying.
He's 36. He turns 37 in October. So happy birthday, Brian Hoyer. We just trashed you, but happy birthday.
Well, maybe we'll start on his birthday.
Oh, by the way, you know his birthday is today?
No.
Wow. Disrespectful.
Marco?
You don't know whose birthday it is today?
Marco would not say it's his birthday.
What do you mean he would not say? It is his birthday,
that's what
you jackass.
Like, but how am I supposed to know? He wouldn't tell anyone. How do you know?
How do I know? I saw it on Facebook today.
That's how I know. Marco are our Facebook friends.
Like how I, well, I don't even know if I'm friends with Marco on Facebook. I saw someone post about it. Yeah.
Not a shock.
Someone posted, I think Marlo from CBS posted that it was your birthday today.
Marlo's the only reason anybody ever knows it's my birthday.
And she said that you wear great t-shirts.
She does it on
t-shirts.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you seem like the biggest birthday guy in the world, Marco Belletti.
I mean, yeah, that's a big deal. No, I don't care.
When did you get into work tonight?
About an hour ago, a little over.
Did you have another job today?
No.
No. Okay. This is your only job now?
Correct.
All right, I'm just
for the time being, yes. I have at least just one now. I don't know if I'm going to get a second. Right now, gotcha. I'm working on one job.
I'm programmed to you being like the Joe McEwing, where you play every single
This is the
position.
First time I've had one job in, I don't know, 15 to 20 years. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Did your kid go to school today, or were they off?
My son was off. My daughter doesn't go to school yet.
What were the – did they get you a little birthday present, a little cake? You have a fun little time today?
No cake.
No cake on your birthday for the kids? What kind of father are you?
What can I tell you? My wife brought home a cake Sunday.
Did you celebrate over the weekend?
They sang happy birthday to me Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
So we did it then.
Gotcha.
What did I open this morning? My son drew me a picture and a card this morning. So.
Now, hold on. Your son has a creative imagination, and your son kind of tells it like it is from some of the stories. Was he kind to you on the photo drawing?
Yeah, was it dad my hero or dad my zero? None of those things. Just happy birthday. There was a dinosaur involved. You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know.
Because you've told me before that your son has said some things to you where he has like a bleep looking kind of grin on his face that you're like, oh,
he's
boy.
A complete and total wise ass. Yeah. Matter of fact, when I came home Sunday, I saw him and I was like, are you serious? He was in his Halloween costume. He's the Grim Reaper. I was like, what now?
He's walking around the house, he's got the staff,
he's got the black. I was like, seriously? And I looked at my wife, and she's like, it's the only thing he wanted. I'm like, all right, okay.
Now,
so be it.
I don't want to be a jackass, but can you even wear that to school? Like, when I was growing up, they like wouldn't let you wear some masks sometimes.
It's not a mask. See, last year he was like, it was quote unquote a mummy, but it was more like a zombie. It had like blood all over the white and whatnot. Okay. And it had like a covering on the face. Now you had to pull it down.
But can you bring the sword to school?
I don't know if you could bring this. I don't know if you could bring the sword or not.
Yeah. Plastic sword, by the way, just to be clear.
Yeah, but listening. It was sharp because I was kind of like, whoa, watch the end of it, the pointy end. Yeah, I was a little concerned. He was by his sister a little too much. I thought he was going to take her eye out.
That's a
little bit of a concern. Yeah, but again, why he wants to be a zombie last year or Grim Reaper, he wanted something else with like blood and teeth that my wife put her foot down.
Yeah,
so
I'm having to like dressing up as a pirate or like an athlete.
What can I tell you? I mean, when you have to put your foot down and Grim Reaper was like the okay choice, who knows what the hell was going on in that store with the two of them.
He's definitely your son. There's no doubt about
that. Yeah,
he's got a rebel side of him.
Yeah, he's got a lot of wise ass.
Anyway, Brian Hoyer, he turns 37 in October. It is Marco Belletti's birthday today, so I'll be kind. Happy birthday, Marco Belletti.
I appreciate it. Thank
I
you.
Know that you really don't care anyone wishing you happy birthday, but I feel compelled to say it. Hickey, Hoyer's first year in Foxborough. Want to take a guess?
2013.
2009. 2009 to 2011 with the Patriots. 2012 with the Steelers. 2012 with the Cardinals. 2013 to 2014 in Cleveland. 2015 with the Texans. 2016 with the Bears. 2017 with the 49ers. Came back with the Pats. 2017 to 2018. Do you remember where he was in 2019?
INDY.
That is correct. And then 2020, 2021, 2022 with the Patriots. He's only won one Super Bowl with New England.
I feel like it's hard to do. When you were there, and you've been in the league since 2009. Yeah.
Well, he was there in that decade where they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Hmm.
And then he came back, and he wasn't even there for the 49 or the 51 team. That was the one against the Rams.
The ugliest one. Maybe do you cut him now? Like, just get rid of him? He's kind of like the bad luck charm?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Anyway, real quickly. So I saw Ian Rappaport said that he thinks the earliest Dak Prescott will get back is up against the Eagles. So that would be him missing two more games. Mike Florio threw out a theory because we've both been kind of not stunned, but it's been mystifying. It's been kind of an enigma of Jerry Jones, who loves to stir up drama. But how much Jerry Jones in this process the last 2 weeks has been hyping up Cooper Rush? Florio threw out a theory that he knows, right? Jerry Jones has to know that Dak Prescott's his guy. He's paid him to be the guy. So maybe Jerry Jones is doing this intentionally to light a little fire in the tummy of one Dak Prescott, or the real way that Florio threw this out there, kind of push Dak to get back on the field as quick as possible. I thought that was a different theory, and I would not put it past Jerry, who seems lost sometimes when he speaks now, but I wouldn't put it past Jerry to just simply say, yeah, it's the typical drama, but if there's maybe a little method to the madness here, because of the fact, I think a lot of people are now falling into the trap, oh, Cooper Rush is 2-0, okay, they won against the Bengals, now they beat the Giants, you could give Dak an extra week, probably doesn't want to give Dak an extra week. So maybe that has Dak, no pun intended here, force his own hand and say, yeah, I want to jump into the conversation. Stitches are out. I'm ready to go, and I'm good to go. Get me back on the field as quick as possible. Where do you lie on that theory there, Hot Take Hickey?
If true, genius. I don't trust Jerry Jones to be that calculating when it comes to the roster manipulation.
Okay. I think it's fair. Like, part of you just naturally goes, oh, it has to be just Jerry stirring up the pot with the drama and all that. But I like the way that Florio just floated that idea out there. I didn't think about that when we were going through all the options. Closing bell next. Tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Wrapping up shop on a Tuesday. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's ring that closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's start things off. Fox Sports Deportes. This was their call of the Oregon pick six near the end of the Washington State-Oregon game, which was a wild game. Looked like Oregon was going to lose for most of the contest. Then Bo Nix happened, and then you had this pick six with a minute left in the fourth quarter. Let's listen up to this call.
Será segunda y cuatro. Termina por ser interceptado. Intercepta y con el pick six hasta la vista.
The hasta la vista is great, but the best part of that call, Hickey, is what?
Quack quack
quack quack quack quack quack quack quack quack. Good to know the noise of quack quack is the same in Spanish as well. I was not expecting that one. Anytime there's a play-by-play of an Oregon game and there's a big moment, you have to now say quack, 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 quack. Quack, quack, Mr. Ducksworth. You got to incorporate the quack, quack into the call. Anyway, stock up to the announcer on Fox Sports Deportes. The Defensive Play of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. The Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Their defense was lying around on Monday night, sacking Daniel Jones five times and hitting him 12 times in their 23-16 win over the Giants on Monday. And then you had Trayvon Diggs, who recorded the game-winning interception, while DeMarcus Lawrence notched three sacks in the victory. Give a stock up to the Cowboys defense. Cooper Rush, 2-0 this year, 3-0 as a starter in Dallas. Holy smokes. I don't think there's a quarterback competition, but Cooper Rush and other reasons have salvaged the Cowboys season when it looked like it was over after the first week of the year. Back-to-back victories give Cooper Rush a stock up. So October 3rd to the 5th, the Braves go to Florida, and we'll see if that game or that series actually going to play with the Hurricane, and good luck and well wishes to everyone, first and foremost. But the way that the Marlins are promoting this, fans, according to SNY, Mets TV station, that have recently purchased tickets to the Marlins received an email today from the team that included a message. The message was this: calling all Mets fans, for once cheer on the Marlins. Hashtag beat ATL for Atlanta. Now, we know there's a lot of New Yorkers that live in Florida, and anytime the Mets play the Marlins, and the Marlins don't get any fans to begin with that are their own, unless you be that Marlins man guy. But there's a ton of Mets fans. So now the Marlins, since they can't get their own fans, are basically saying, Mets fans, come be Marlins fans, and let's all cheer about beating the Braves on together. Usually I would rip this and say it's pathetic, and the Marlins right now, if you want us to get fans there, how about you throw this game tonight? You're up 6-3, and the Mets leading the NL East is about to go down to 0, and they're going to be tied with the Braves because the Braves are winning. This is in the top of the 8th. If you do your part and allow us to come back tonight, then Mets fans will do their part. But I usually would say that this is pathetic, but I kind of find this actually creative and actually funny. So I'm giving it a stock up. Penny Hardaway. We thought Memphis was going to get hit with the NCAA tournament ban. There was going to be severe sanctions. Memphis just sentenced to 3 years of probation, public reprimand, and a fine, but they're not going to be banned from the NCAA tournament. So give a stock up to the Memphis Tigers basketball program. I got to give a stock up to Lance Leipold at Kansas and the job that he's just done. And he probably, right, Hickey, is going to be getting a bigger job after this year, you would assume.
You would think. If you're 4-0 at Kansas, a lot of schools should be calling.
You would think. And he used to be at Buffalo. I remember when he was at Buffalo. You look at Kansas. When was the last time Kansas had 4 wins in a season? If you had to take a guess, I have the year. That they had at least 4 wins in a season.
2011.
You want to see how far I have to go back?
2009?
2021, 2 wins. No wins in 2020. 3 in 2019, 3 in 2018, 1 in 2017, 2 in 2016, winless in 2015, 3 wins in 2014, 3 wins in 2013, 1 in 2012, 1 in 2011, 3 in 2010, 5 in 2009.
Wow. Wow.
Kansas football school? Right? Don't tell Bill Self. Don't have Bill Self pull a Calipari. Give a stock up to Kansas football. Bill Self's going to say, hey, we're a basketball school. Lance Leipold's going to come out and say, you see what Mark Stoops did to Calipari? You want me to stay? You say that we're a football school now. Did you hear James Harden the other day? I thought this was in jest. He said he lost 100 pounds this offseason.
I saw that, but there's no way.
He's got to be playing with the media.
He's even way less than me if he lost 100 pounds.
Yeah, he'd be emaciated.
There's no way.
And there's no way James Harden, with how much he goes to the strip club, unless if he was really getting down in the strip club, with how much you're eating and just being at the strip club the way that James Harden enjoys the strip club, that he would lose 100. He does look slim, but 100 pounds? Yeah, no shot. So just the fact that he threw that out there, I'm just giving it a stock down. DeAndre Ayton, back with the Suns. They matched the offer that came from Indiana. He reveals since that Game 7 benching when him and Monty Williams went at it that they haven't spoken since. Listen up.
How have you and Monty kind of been able to move
on? I haven't spoken to Monty. No, I haven't spoken at all. Ever since the game.
So not even
no. I'm here. You happy to be here, DA? Yeah, I'm all right.
So kind of tough to hear, but the one thing I did hear from that, Hickey, was that he has not spoken to Monty Williams, the coach. And Lonnie said, I haven't spoken to a lot of players. I want to give them time to just move on and things like that. Like I saw him say something along those lines today. This is a stock down to Monty Williams. You have an issue with DeAndre Ayton. It's not on the player to talk to the coach. It's on the coach to smooth things over with the player. That, to me, Ryan, is inconceivable. How they haven't had a conversation and they gave him a new contract.
It's kind of wild that the Suns would give him the contract without first smoothing over the relationship, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like he was done after that bench. He was going to be out of there.
Monty Williams said, I haven't talked to a bunch of guys. I just wanted to give everybody a break. That's how he responded to that today. Yeah. And, you know, give him a double stock down. Russell Wilson, did you see the Subway commercial?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, 45 seconds. It's cringy. Russell Wilson's becoming unlikable. And he used to be such a likable guy. Everything he does on social media, it's trying too hard. It's just cringeworthy. Stock down, Russell Wilson. And finally, I'm giving you a stock down. You have any idea why I'm giving you a stock down?
No idea.
So you are friendly with Ryan Leaf. You used to produce for him.
Yes.
Ryan Leaf was in these studios with Maggie and Perloff, and you didn't even say hello when he walked right past you because you didn't want to bother him or you were afraid to talk to someone that you used to work with.
Well, he's in a rush. He seemed he was hurried. I don't want to slow him down. In case he's making a train.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to be the reason why he misses.
I think you were a little soft there. And I saw that Ryan Leaf did send you a tweet over the weekend. He responded to one of your tweets. So that means he does like you if he's just out of nowhere responding to one of your tweets that wasn't even directed to him and you didn't even say hello when he was in studio. That's a bad job by you. You got to say hello. And you didn't. Anyway, big thank you to Chris Kleiman for joining us, KJ Osborne as well, each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. And yes, when you do call this show, we will go to you. That was a funny phone call from Don. I didn't think you guys were going to pick me. You called in. Not like it's crazy that we would pick you, but we always appreciate the phone calls. Be back tomorrow on a very busy Take 5 Wednesday. I'll give you my top five teams in the NFL and college football. Talk to everybody, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Zach Gelb Show. Peace.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.